Hello, everybody. This is Amy Barnhart, co-founder of StrongMarriageNow.com, and I'm here with Dr. Dana.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Hope you are well. It's time for our monthly community membership call, and we're super happy to have you guys on the phone with us. Today's topic is one that most of us desire, and Dr. Dana is going to cover it in the first 15 minutes of the call today. And after that, you get to personally talk to Dr. Dana and ask your question. Oh, and by the way, the whole call is scheduled to last around an hour today. And I'm so grateful to Dr. Dana for joining us today, given how busy she is with her practice and all those media appearances that she has. So today's topic is called Three Steps to More Love and Connection. Who doesn't want that, right? It's wonderful to feel appreciated, fulfilled, and closely bonded to our spouse. And, you know, I practice the steps that Dr. Dana is going to cover today regularly, and I know it really helps my marriage. So after the topic of the month, we'll open up the phone lines and take questions via our webcast, as well as you get to talk to her directly so that you can personally get Dr. Dana's life-changing advice for your situation. And I'm going to cover the logistics for how you're going to ask your questions in a bit, but now let me hand it over to my fantastic friend and business partner, Dr. Dana.
Oh, thanks, Amy. What a great intro. Hi, everyone. This is, as she mentioned, Dr. Dana, and I am excited to see really how many people are on the call today, and it's nice, yeah, and I'm pleased to see that everybody's coming in for this topic, and I'm pleased that you really want to know how to feel more love and connection in your marriage. That keeps everything going. That makes everything easier. It makes everything smoother. It's really important. So I'm going to tell you three easy steps to take. Maybe they're not actually easy, but they do work. But first, however, I have to go over some logistics like I do every time. After I cover the three steps for a little bit, you'll be able to ask whatever question you have for me today. And I think, you know, it doesn't have to be about this particular topic. It can be anything that's going on in your marriage, anything that you want help with. And as Amy told you, she's going to let you know a couple different ways to ask your question right before it's time to do so. So after I speak for a little bit. And on every call, I really, really like to encourage you guys to ask your question to me directly over the phone, just because it's a little bit easier to answer if I can clarify some things, if I can ask you some further questions or something like that. But I have to say, you can also just write it in, too, and I really do my best to answer those questions as well, and she's going to tell you how to do that later. However you ask your question, either way, I have to remind you that the call is being recorded and will be available for people to listen to again. And we do that because lots of people have told us that they have gotten just the advice they needed by listening to our old calls. So we make those available for anybody to listen to, not anybody, but for community members to listen to again. So if you feel like you still need some more information after this call, if you feel like you still have a further question or a different question, check out some of those past calls. There are, you know, there's some really, really good questions that people have asked in the past on them, and that they may be exactly what you need. They may apply directly to you. So let's see. Okay, the next thing I have to cover on my list are the terms of service. I have to explain each time that by being on this call, you are agreeing to the terms of service, and they say that I am not agreeing to be your therapist at this time, and this isn't one-on-one counseling. This is just a way for me to give you some hopefully useful information and to answer as many of your questions as I possibly can. So I think that covers everything on my to-do list. So on to the info. Our topic today is three steps to more love and connection. And as you can imagine, you know, there's lots of different ways for people to feel closer to their partner. But I'm going to cover the three steps that I find are, you know, pretty surefire ways to get that deeper connection, pretty, you know, ways that work, in my opinion, almost every time. So the first one, if you've spent any time at all on, you know, on our Strong Marriage Now website or with any of our products, you have heard me say this one before. So this time, I actually want to illustrate it with a story. And well, first let me tell you what it is. Spending time alone together as a man and a woman. So you've probably heard my point that many of us spend time together as a husband and wife doing the bills and visiting with the neighbors and, you know, the in-laws and so forth. And we spend a lot of time, many of us, as mom and dad, you know, taking care of the kids and going to soccer practice and making dinner and so on and so forth, which is all very wonderful. But so many of us spend very little time together as a man and a woman. And that's where the love is. That's where the connection is. That's where everything gets forgiven, and it's just easier to get by. And so I find that so few people can manage to spend that time together. So and as you've also heard me say before, it's very difficult for me to convince people that this is important. So this time I thought I would tell you about a couple that I actually just saw. What is today, Tuesday? Okay, so I saw them last week. I will call them, for the sake of anonymity, Tracy and Will. So I've seen this couple on and off before over the last several years. The last time was about a year ago, a little over a year ago. And to tell you a little bit about them, they have the big house, they have jobs, they have three kids, they basically have busy lives, I'm sure, just like you have busy lives. And the last time I saw them, again, a little over a year ago, they were, the standard reasons why people come to couples therapy. They're fighting all the time. They're having very little sex. It's the other person's, completely the other person's fault. And they were actually considering divorce. They brought up the big D word by this point. So when they came in, they were pretty much ready to sign up for counseling for the rest of their marriage. They figured, okay, they just can't do this. They're gonna need help. So, I do the standard stuff, and we cover, some communication stuff. They were pretty poor communicators, and some of the other tips that I'm actually going to give you after this one. We talked about that a little bit, but mostly I instructed them to spend 8 hours alone with no kids and no screens each week. And I told them the spiel that I tell everybody, which is, well, I can help you work on your marriage, but unless you, spend this time together, it's going to make it much more difficult, and it's going to be, maybe not, won't even work unless you manage to get this time together. So, and like everybody else that I give that advice to, they pretty much rolled their eyes at me and thought, this would be a waste of time, and I didn't know what I was talking about, and it was too simple, and they were expecting far more in-depth and complicated interventions from me. But they complied. And sure enough, as I always say, within a few weeks, they were coming back in a session, they were laughing, they came back in holding hands, they're talking kindly to each other, they were having sex again, and they were just feeling more connected. Now, we worked on a few other things, but they were feeling more connected. So they saw me really for just a few more sessions, and they went on their merry way, right? So it's all good. Fast forward to last week. I get a frantic call, we have to see you. They come back into my office, and they are furious with each other. They're blaming again, they're shaming again. They are distant, they have no physical contact, and she had even actually contacted an attorney this time. So what happened? Well, you probably figured this out. A version of the same thing I hear all the time, right? They were doing great for the first, 8, 9, 10 months after they saw me. Then she took a volunteer position at the kid's school, and he got a new job that required him to travel a lot, and date night basically went out the window. And they stopped spending time together. So, and then literally within 3 months, they were back at each other's throats. Within 3 months, it only took 3 months to get back to that very dark space. Now, again, are these people the best communicators? No. Should they be probably a little bit less selfish with each other? Yes. But all that was happening when they were getting along just fine. All that was still going on. It was the time issue. They were not spending time alone together as a man and a woman, and it really matters. So, of course, I've got them back on track again, and my prediction is that they'll be fine again very quickly. So that's my story about the time thing, and I have 1,000 stories like that I could share with you guys. So please do not underestimate how important it is. But many people ask me, on to my next point, what they're supposed to do with that time, right? And so I want to cover that. And first to do that, I need to back up a little bit and say first that, as I've said before, let's face it, monogamy can be kind of boring. It's supposed to be stable, but that can sometimes translate into it being stagnant. So the problem with that is that people are not stagnant. They continue to grow and change. And if you want to grow together with your partner, if you want to grow closer to your partner, you have to find ways, interestingly enough, to stir things up, to make it not stagnant. You have to find ways to make things interesting and new. That makes a big difference. So done correctly, this can strengthen the bond, and it almost refreshes the love in the relationship. So this doesn't have to be anything crazy. You don't have to take up bungee jumping or whitewater rafting or anything insane. But it just has to be something different that the two of you haven't tried before, or maybe at least you haven't tried it in a while. You know, maybe you played tennis together when you first met, but you haven't in 15 years. It could be something you've done, but it has to be something kind of new for you guys right now. And it could be as simple as, you know, starting to take walks together after dinner, you know, something just nice like that. It could be something drastic, like taking a trip to a country that you've never been to and planning that and getting ready for that and all that stuff. The only criteria basically is that you're doing it together and again, alone together, meaning just the two of you, and that it has to be something new.
Dana, I just wanted to chime in. We have an exercise that's called Together Activities. It has more than 100 activities, and I think like 70-plus are free. They don't cost, they require any money, and it's part of the Strong Marriage Now system, and I know a lot of you guys on the call purchase the Strong Marriage Now system, so if you just go in the My Courses area under Strong Marriage Now system in the time section, you'll see the exercise. So if you're not sure what to do, there's loads and loads of ideas that we put together there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding us. That's great. It's, you know, because it really matters, and as you guys have probably already guessed or maybe even experienced in your own relationships, this particular point is highly connected to your sex life. And, of course, why that matters is sex is one of the best ways to build love and connection in a relationship. But the very things that we tend to seek in relationships, like comfort and peace in the home and friendship, those are all great but can actually be sex drive killers, believe it or not. They can actually make it so you feel very friendly towards your partner and not remarkably sexy towards your partner. So now I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive for those things. Those things are very, very important. It's why many of us actually got married in the first place, so we can have that comfort and safety and peace. But if we want that, we also have to keep the excitement up in order to keep that connection strong and that feeling of love. And the easiest way, and I think the healthiest way to do that, is to simply just try something new in your relationship. So, okay, on to my final point. And I'm going to cover these kind of quickly because I want to get to your guys' questions. This particular point should carry across all the things that I've already just talked about. If you don't do this one, then the spending time together will just be annoying to at least one of you. And the new things you try won't be fulfilling for both of you and actually can therefore build resentment. So, you know, so what am I talking about, right? And that's putting your partner first. Now, I can feel the hackles rising on some of you on the call already, but I got to tell you, most couples who come into therapy have a similar style, right? And that's the I'll change just as soon as she does. And the I'll give him what he needs just as soon as he meets my needs kind of style. And this, as you can imagine, it doesn't work. And it just causes more and more distance over the years. So, and again, I told you I could feel your hackles. I know that many of you are thinking that you have always put your partner first, but maybe they don't put you first. They, end quote, but really it's because she has a specific way she wants everything done, and that's her way. And this is the husband who is, you know, fun and loving and gets along with everybody, but really he's a benevolent dictator.
Can I interrupt you real quick, Dana? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think we might have a – oh, wait, okay. So I think we had an audio problem, but I just got a message from our assistant that you guys can hear us again. So I apologize for the little technical difficulty. We are back, and
great.
Stop interrupting.
That's okay. Do I need to back up about what I was saying at all, or do you think I can just keep going?
Mike said that she has a specific way she wants everything done is where it came back. So it might be good to recap
well,
a little bit of that point.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Thank you. Sometimes these technical difficulties happen. So I was talking about putting people first, basically. And basically what I was kind of calling you guys out a little bit and saying that, you know, a lot of people think that they put their partner first, but they actually don't put their partner first. And I was given some examples, really, about who, you know, there's lots of people that you can see this in, but the classic one and where you guys heard me come in is the wife who, like I said, you know, she works all day, she puts everything forward, she works so hard, but really, when you look into it, it's because she has a specific way that she wants everything done, and it's her way. She wants it done a specific way, so she's working so hard, right? She's putting everybody's needs first, but in actuality, she's doing that to meet her need. And I was going on to say, you know, that this is a classic husband example is, you know, the guy who's fun and loving and easygoing, but in actuality, he's really what, you know, the kind of the personality type that I call the benevolent dictator. So he's willing to help everyone, but he has to be in charge, right? And that meets his need of being in charge and feeling like the one on top. So there's many, many more examples. But in fact, you know, I got to tell you, in therapy, I often find that the person who professes to be the one making all the sacrifices is often the one who is really putting themselves first. So,
wow.
I got to challenge you guys with that a little bit, to take a really good look at that, because it's only by really thinking about your partner and what they need that you'll feel this connection and love that we're talking about today. So, to recap, when you spend your 8 hours a week, that's right, 8 hours a week alone with your partner, trying something new, hopefully for some of those, think about what will make them happy. Think about what will make your partner happy. Think about what will make them feel loved, not what will make you feel loved, because it's usually different for both people. So what's going to make them feel loved and connected? And this really is the easiest and most surefire combination. Those things, 8 hours together, trying something new, thinking about them, is the easiest way to bridge any kind of gap that's between you and feel the more love and connection that you're looking for today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your help today, Dana. That was fantastic. And I hope that everybody's listening really gives those steps a try. I know that they've made a massive difference in my marriage. And in fact, that I found that when I put my husband first, he tends to react positively and make me a priority right back. So if you're feeling like, wait a second, I don't want to meet their needs, when you actually are the bigger person and, you know, do that first, it turns out that they do the same for you. So, that's my experience anyway. So now is the time on the call where you get to talk to Dr. Dana and ask your questions. And we got loads of you guys on the call, so I'm just going to get right to it. She's going to spend around 3 to 5 minutes per question so that we can help as many people as possible today. And those of you guys on past calls have been great about diving right in and asking your question. And the way you can get in line to ask your question is press *2 on your phone. So, and then once you press *2, I'll see a little hand on my control panel here, and I'll see your phone number, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number and let you know that you're unmuted and ask you to state your name and question. So if you're not comfortable saying your name, that's absolutely no problem. You can just make up a name or don't include your name. Don't worry about that. And if you're listening on the webcast, you can type in your question in the gray box on the left of the page. So let's open up to our first caller. We got loads of people raising their hand. The caller ending in 5157, you are now unmuted. If you could state your first name and question.
Yes, my name is Barry, and I missed the last call last month. I got so excited that you picked me that I actually hung up and picked up. But
oh, no.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I've been using the strong marriage system for about 2 or 3 months, and I was one of those where my partner had checked out. And she has finally started talking, and I guess I've got a couple of questions. One is, if we go back, do I need to start back at square one with that system and take her back through it, or do you recommend just jumping in?
No, I absolutely recommend starting at square one. You know, the system is designed to actually be watched over and over and over again. I'm sure you can tell by my style and even how quickly I speak today, I cover that stuff really fast. You know, our whole premise in the business is, you know, give them the information, give them, you know, really specific things and move along. So it will only benefit you to go back through it, and she absolutely needs to hear all of it from the beginning so she knows what you've learned and so she can adopt those things. So, yes, I highly recommend you guys go back to the beginning and, frankly, even, you know, watch it several more times after that together if you need to. So, yes.
Well, the only rub she's having with it is she's saying, well, you know, this doesn't exactly cover our situation, and, you know, nobody's exactly like us, and I don't really have an answer for that.
Well, she's right. You know, again, the product isn't designed, but what it does is if you follow, you know, all of the stuff that I recommend about communication and fighting and sex and money and all of those things, whatever is your specific issue is then dealable. It's like, I liken it to being in the ocean and drowning. If you follow all the other stuff, at least it gives you a flotation device. It gives you something. It holds you up long enough to deal with whatever it is going on with you guys. But unless you've got all those other basic foundation things taken care of, then you can't deal with your specific issue.
So we just pretty cool. So I see exactly what you're saying. That's good, and I appreciate the help because I thought we were gone, and I stuck with it. So
Oh, I'm so glad, and good job for you. Good job
for you.
I'm
not there yet, but we're, you know, at least I've broke
through. You're on your way. Stick with it. Don't give up. Keep doing all those things and trying them, and then they'll become habits and new ways of dealing with each other, and I'm telling you, everything else will be easier. So, you know, congratulations. Good job on sticking with it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Barry. All right, our next caller that ends in 0486, you are now unmuted, if you could state your name and question.
Hi, my name is Andrea. And,
hi, Andrea.
Hi. And I do have the strong marriage now system, and it actually has changed me personally. But unfortunately, we have a – I'm going to get a little emotional, but – we have a four-year-old daughter, and she did file for divorce.
Oh.
And I'm trying very hard to change and to be the wife that he, you know, really wants.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
How can I get him to, I mean, I've tried all this stuff to get him checked back in, and it just seems like nothing just is working because he's just so adamant on not, like, you know, making anything work. So, I mean,
well,
he even told me he sees the change, you know, he does that, but, you know, he's lost trust and things like that, and it's just very difficult. So, you know, I'm
right.
Not sure
where
to go from
there. So you said that you've purchased a system. So one of the other things that we have is called the guide, you know, what to do when your partner wants out. And I'm not suggesting that you go get that, but I want to tell you about a piece of that. And a piece of that is one of the main things I tell people to do is to agree with their partner that you don't want that relationship either. Okay?
Right, and I did do that. And she's like, well, I don't want to be married anymore. You know, I just want to be married to myself, you know. And I'm like, oh, gosh, you know. And, like, I know he's, you know, his personality is very strong. Like, and I know a bad part of it is that his one supposedly, like, good friend is telling him to not trust me anymore and to get rid of me, and he's trying to, you know, and he's,
mm-hmm. he's being
so
negatively
like kind of,
influenced. Yeah.
Yes.
That's really
the
unfortunate.
Part.
Well, you know, the other advice that I'm going to give you, hon, and I know this is maybe not as encouraging, but, many people have gotten remarried. Many people have, at the very last minute decided, no, in fact, I don't want to do that. It's what's kind of important right now is that you almost stand still. And I mean this figuratively. Stand still with your arms open,
mm-hmm.
and you know, stop trying to cling to him. Stop trying to grab him. Stop trying, because the more
right.
you try to grab, the more he slips through your fingers. So, you know, just
right.
stand still. And again, work on you. Be the best mother you know how to be. Be the best woman and wife, and really take care of yourself. Really get your life into a place that you're proud of and happy about.
Right.
And you can't do anything about the fact that he doesn't want to be just that he doesn't want the institution of marriage. But you
right.
can absolutely be, you know, the best person you possibly can. So if he decides he doesn't want to break up his family and everything, then you know, you'll be ready for him. You'll be there. And then the side bonus for that, honey, is if he does walk away, I'm sorry for that, and that will be sad. But if he does, you'll be in a much better place because you'll be good with who you are, and you'll feel good about you, and you'll feel ready to move on to the next part of your life. So you win either way. And I don't mean to diminish, you know, what it's going to feel like if you guys separate, but you'll be,
right.
you know, you'll be okay if you're taking care of you, because it makes you more attractive to him, and it just makes you in a better, more healthier, strong place.
Right.
So,
well, thank you. It's just been
you
really,
know, I would,
you know.
Oh,
we're not
gosh,
really
one of the hardest things to go through.
Like, you know.
right.
It's like, well, what do you do, you know, but he's seen the change, and he's actually, you know, stayed at home for a couple days, you know, this past
But a lot of times
stuff.
They think the change won't last. So they see the
right.
changes, but they think, yeah, but it's just for right now. So if he sees consistently that that's happening and that you've really made whatever differences, you know, and changes that he was asking for, and they last, and that you're happier with you, you're not crying and you're not clinging and you're not grasping for him, you're happy with your life, that makes you so much more attractive. And, you know, he
okay.
might consider the possibility of a new relationship then. Okay?
Right. All right. Well, thank you so
All
much.
Right. You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank
All
you.
All right. Thank you. So we've got lots and lots of people on the call. If anybody else wants to raise their hand, we've got two more in the queue. But if anybody else wants to raise their hand, please press *2 on your phone. We're going to unmute 2892 if you can, well, actually, I think 2892 may have just dropped off. I'm going to unmute 7692. Sorry about that. So caller 7692, if you can state your name and question. And anybody else wants to raise their hand, press star 2.
Hello? My name is Corey. Hello?
Hi, Corey.
Hello?
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, it's sort of a similar question as far as my wife has filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the strong marriage now system, and I've been doing pretty much everything that, you know, like just staying still, and I can see differences in her, how she's reacting towards me.
Mm-hmm.
But along the lines as the other caller, my wife's family is very, very involved in her life as far as when we have two children who aren't happy with this, and I feel really bad for my children. But her family is very, very much involved and interfere. It's how much they interfere with our marriage. And because they've all been divorced several times. Her sisters, her mom, they've all cheated on all of their husbands. And it's always the man's fault. Ooh. It's always this person's fault, you know, whatever.
Have you talked to them directly?
Yes.
Then said to them, please help me keep my family together. Please don't do this to our kids and your grandkids. Please help us. You've said that? And
yes. I've spoken to her mother. I've spoken to her sister. They just, because I'm not a millionaire, like,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of their whole thing. Everything's based off money.
Oh.
You know, and so because I don't make enough money for them, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it does help that my wife and her sister and her family was in an abusive house. And so I just found out recently that I've been dealing with a lot of stuff with the mental aspect. My wife is borderline personality disorder.
Ooh, wow.
And so I have a lot on my hands right now.
Yeah, and okay, so my question for you is, have you studied that? Have you studied the borderline marriage, and you've studied what it is, and so you know that she can flip on a dime, right? So you know that she loves you one day and hates you the next day, and that can go back and forth.
And she does. Especially, I don't want to offend anybody, especially when she's on her cycle.
Right, yep.
Her mood go extreme, like she gets extremely violent, and then she'll go violent, they're calling the cops on me, and everything's my fault, all of a sudden she's calling me, she's crying.
Is she doing this around the kids?
Yes. She doesn't realize that she's doing it.
Okay, you're probably not going to like what I have to say then here, hon. I mean, I try and keep marriages together, and I try, but what you're describing is emotional abuse for your children. And I realize that I hope that she's not necessarily physically going after them, but them witnessing her doing this with you and watching this go through is incredibly traumatizing to them. So, I'm not giving you advice on what to do one way or the other, but I do have to inform you that it is incredibly hard on the kids and can cause lasting damage. So she's creating an abusive household again. So the one she grew up in, she's creating for her own kids. So you really are going to have to consider, and I'm going to encourage you to put them and their safety and their emotional development ahead of this. And so if she can't get, and now that's not to say that people with borderline, they can't get help. There's therapy, there's medication, there's all kinds of ways for her to. There's both people,
yeah,
they have a recycle stuff. There's so many ways, but if she can't, you can't keep the marriage together just because you want to if it's not good for the kids.
Yeah, I've tried, you know, I've actually gone to therapy, and that's how I started figuring things out. And,
right.
It's just been really, really rough, but she is a good mother. She's a very good mother. It's just when she's around me.
Well, yeah, okay,
but
I get that's kind of what
yeah.
That's what I was trying to differentiate is most people think that if they're a good mother, then it's good enough. But I'm telling you, them witnessing the arguing and the anger and the violence between you two is also a form of abuse. So I understand what you're saying, but it is incredibly traumatizing and damaging for your kids to witness that. So even if she's kind to them but not kind to you in front of them, it is not good. So don't underestimate the effects that that's having on their lives and their psyches. That's kind of all that I'm saying. So if she can get that under control,
yeah,
great. But if she can't, then it actually would be better for them not to witness you two being together if she can't stop abusing you when you are. So, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem.
So, okay. Well, intense question there. So thank you so much for dialing in. I'm going to unmute 2892. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hi, my name is Patricia. And I was just calling because I did purchase your program, and we just started it. I just found out my husband had an affair a month ago, and I guess the hard part about it all is that he works with her, and we have our good days, and we've been working towards all of it, and, you know, we're trying to get along really good, and our kids are already grown, they're teenage boys, have their pretty much their own lives, and there's just days where I just break down, and I feel like you're going to work with her, and you're spending, I feel like a part-time wife.
Well, okay, so I understand it's incredibly difficult when somebody can't get out of a situation, you know, when they've had an affair with someone that they're going to continue to see. It's a really, really hard position for both of you to be in actuality. But I got to say, the fact that he's working on the program with you, the fact that he is trying, the fact that he is going through all this and trying to keep your family together, you know, it said a lot about the fact that his focus has turned off of her and is back on you. And one of the things that can happen, because it is such a devastating thing to go through to have your partner cheat on you, is in actuality the person who was cheated on ends up being the one that breaks up the marriage because they can't let it go. They can't stop obsessing about it, and they can't stop beating the other person up about it. And I'm not saying that you don't deserve your time to mourn and to be upset. This is fresh, only a month ago. So you do have to take, you know, the time to go through it and to express your feelings and to tell, you know, he does need to listen to all this way that this has affected you. But in the end, that he has turned around and, you know, at some point there will be a choice that you have to make to trust him and to put that behind you, even if he sees her at work. So, again, this is new and I'm not saying you're there yet, but eventually you want to head toward, your goal is to get to a place where you feel like the marriage is strong enough and you're connected enough and you're happy enough with each other that you don't feel like he's going to stray regardless of who he's around, because you'll feel connected and strong again. So it's a careful balance between you doing the mourning, and he needs to listen and he needs to understand where you're coming from, and him dealing with you being in an emotional space because he made some choices, so he has to take the consequences. But also give him a chance to get it right. You know, give him a chance to, and if you start to feel like he really is paying attention to you and is focused on you and is trying with you, then you might want to move, you know, as quickly as you can to the place where you trust him again. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to skip over to a webcast question real quick. Angie wrote in, my spouse is very intense. What can I do to help things be less stressful and controlling? Can you help Angie?
Sure. So her husband is very intense. Okay. yeah, I absolutely can. There's several different books I would have him read. There's several different, you know, self-help kind of things that I would talk about to some degree. Because in the end, those characteristics, intensity and controlling, they actually come from fear. And they come from a feeling that you have to control everything because you don't feel safe. You don't feel safe in your world. You don't feel safe in your marriage. You don't feel safe in so many things. So he's going to need to find out where that comes from. You can either help him figure that out. Some of the books that I was thinking about talking about are there's a book called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. That's a great book for people that have a hard time stressing out about things and making everything Too Much. I would check that book out. There's a great book that men respond very well to called The Happiness Advantage. And I don't remember, Amy, if you know who wrote that.
I think it's Sean Aker.
Oh, thank you. Because it's written from an actual business. Thank you. It's written from a business perspective, and so it's all research-based. So men tend to respond to that a little bit better than some of the more touchy-feely kind of books. I would look into that. And then I would start asking questions, open-ended, non-judgmental questions about, so if he's trying to control whether you're hanging out with your girlfriends or not, or trying to control, you know, sort of ask what that's about. What's he worried about? What's he scared about? What is his fear? And not in a rhetorical, like, what's your problem? Not like that. But a real, like, honey, what is it that you're really scared about? How can I reassure you? How can you figure that out? And he may have a hard time admitting that he's coming from a place of fear, but he is. And that's what that's about. And so you recognizing that, you'll have a little bit more patience with that. And a lot of times guys don't like to read books, I got to say. People don't like to read books. That's not a fair statement. But a lot of times guys don't like to read books. All of those books are available on audio. He can download them on his iPhone. He can listen in his car. You guys can take a road trip, and he can listen. You guys can listen together and have some conversations. So however you've got to get that information, there's a way for him to figure that out and let a lot of that stuff go. So it's just easier for you guys to be around each other. Okay,
great. Thank you. I'm going to unmute the caller ending in 5628. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hi, my name is Joanne. And my husband is out of the house. In fact, he's in a different state.
Wow.
About 4 months ago, he informed me that he wasn't sure if he wanted to be married anymore, and this is after 35 years. Two grown children.
Mm-hmm.
They're in college right now. And so his thing is he needs to have space to see if he'll miss me. Now, he has recently gotten a really great job. It's his, like, wonder job, and he's got a lot of very, very positive feedback, and he's very,
mm-hmm.
he's even, like, somewhat famous in the area that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And I am still in the family home. We had taken possession of the home again because we thought that his job was going to require for him to commute, and that portion fell through. So he's where he was. I was there up until like 8 months ago, and then we were doing the commuting thing, and then in October he said that he wasn't sure he wanted to be married, and yet we still had Thanksgiving together as a family, Christmas together
right.
as a family.
You go be where he is? Will he let you be up there or
no.
be wherever he is?
No. His thing is he wants space. And so I did, in reading through some of the, partner checked out kind of thing, I wrote him a letter, and in it stated my feelings in terms of my commitment to the marriage. And how important and how I thought what our life could be like, the things I look forward
Good.
To. I put down what I saw as, what attracted me to him to begin with, and just said, basically I want to work through this, and I know that we need to talk about things, and I just wanted to go on record in terms of how I felt. And I sent him that letter and, handwritten and in the mail, not even an email or whatever.
Right.
And when I saw him at Thanksgiving and I asked him any response to the letter, no. He did at that time say that he would watch that initial video of yours when you talked
right.
about, preservation of marriage. And I told him, what your point of view is. He said, send him the link, and I did. Whether or not he ever watched it, do not know
right.
because he hasn't mentioned it. And he did mention after the holidays that, let's see what happens, like taking a hiatus of like 6 months or whatever. Well, it started out where I was still hearing from him at around once a week, but now it's been several weeks and I haven't heard anything from him.
Well, you know, hon, I mean, again, it sounds like you're doing everything right. I'm impressed that you've gone through that. I'm impressed that you've really tried to get him on board with all that. I think that's great. You know, I mean, I can tell kind of by your voice that you're feeling very defeated, and I kind of understand why, because you're left with very little power.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard me at the beginning of the call, at the beginning of this time, I spoke to another person about making sure that their life was in a good space.
Right.
That in the end, when we can't have anything to do, we can't affect their behavior, that the best thing we can possibly do is just take care of us,
mm-hmm.
and get your life into a good place and get hobbies and friends and anything you can do, you know, get your, you know, yourself into a shape that you're happy with and your life into a really good, solid place. If that's the best way to make them attracted to you and also to get you, you know, feeling good about yourself again. And then as much as you can, sort of sharing that with him when you have contact, kind of sharing that with him and letting him see it. So when he calls and says, you know, what's going on, you don't say, well, I'm just sitting around or I'm thinking about you. You know, you say, oh, I'm off to do this and I'm off to do that. And then
well,
I
that's the interesting thing. Even up until recently when he would call and we would have things to discuss about the kids and things like that, and he would always kind of volunteer what he was doing, where he was traveling, he never would ask about what I was doing.
Well, don't wait for him to ask. Just tell him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for him to ask. Just say, oh, that's great. Let me tell you what I was doing. I was doing this and I was doing that. I mean, you don't necessarily have to wait for him to get it right. You could inform him just as easily and let him know what's going on with you. And, you know, so you just dive right in and tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, hon, and I wish I had some great big advice. It sounds like he is trying to come up with a way to justify getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that's about. I don't know if there's somebody else. I don't know if there's, you know, if he just has got this grass is always, you know, my life's going to be so much better someplace else. I have no idea where that's
coming
from.
Well, he also has this, in the initial conversation we had, you know, he had this very idealized version of what life would be like. He's like, oh, you know, the kids are grown, so it won't have much of an impact on them.
Oh,
and,
that's
you know,
impact.
You'll find somebody else and I'll find somebody else.
Right.
Everything will be happy.
Yeah, which is totally not true at all. I'm 46 years old, and I still have to deal with my parents' divorce and whether I'm going to see my stepmother, and that's not true.
But
it
that's the whole point.
It never goes away.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he just won't see that now.
Well, he doesn't want to see that now. I mean, a part of him knows that and realizes that, but he's just unwilling to kind of look at that because, again, he has this idealized version. And one of the advice that I give people as far as when it's time to give up for you is, you know, if it's affecting – what I say, you know, your very soul, basically, right? If it's affecting, if you just can't, you know, find yourself and you're having a hard time and this is just sort of devastating you, then it may be time for you to make that call, even before he does. But if you're still in a place where you are willing to give it more time and you're willing to give it, you know, some space as he's requesting, then you're okay, then, you know, by all means, you know, stick with it as long as you can. But if at some point this is, you know, wiping you out, or you're sick, or you've lost a lot of weight, or then at some point it might be that you get to say to him, you know what, I'm not interested in this. This is not, you know, this is not the kind of marriage that I want. So you'll have to kind of make that call yourself, and don't only leave that up to him. You have to take a good look at yourself and see where you're at, okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Thank you for calling in. I'm going to unmute the caller ending in 1148. If you could state your name and question, please.
Hello, my name is Lynn, and actually I filed for a divorce back in September. Realized
mm-hmm.
I kind of made a mistake with that, but my husband, you know, at that time just didn't really want to spend time with me, would always party and be out with his friends until
mm-hmm.
2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Very, very difficult, and I mean, he's still doing that, but, you know, I did tell him that, you know, I wanted to go ahead and work on things, and now at this point he's basically saying, nope, I filed, so I'm going to get what I deserve.
Well, that's not true. He's actually just using it as an excuse so he doesn't have to be the bad guy. You know, he stepped out of the marriage, and he stopped making you a priority, and he stopped making the marriage a priority when you said, I'm not okay with this. Now he's saying, you get what you deserve. So, don't
right.
own that. I hope that you point that back out to him and say, no, excuse me, my actions were a result of choices you made. So make sure that you don't get on board with that, you know, preposterous statement, because that's not what happened. So be clear on that. And then again, these calls always tend to have a certain theme where the questions tend to be similar. So I hate to repeat myself, but I will tell you as well, you know, to work on you, get you in a good space, and tell him, you know, that you're open to it for a little while. You're open to trying for a little bit. You're open to giving it a chance for a little while. But that you're also going to get on with your life. So because you have to appear, well, not even appear, you have to be the best version of you. And for him to think, oh, well, I, you know, okay, that look at her. Like, she's, you know, she's something. She's having a good time. I kind of want to be a part of that life. So, you know, you want to let him know that you're not done yet, but you want to let him know that these were his choices and what he did. But at the same time, really kind of, you know, working on yourself and getting, you know, yourself happy and in a good space and feeling good about who you are and where you are. That is the number one way. And don't keep asking him to come home. Don't keep asking him to work on it. Don't keep asking him to do any of those things.
That's the tough part, you know. You know, why aren't you home? You know, can't you watch TV with me? Why do you always have to stay out with your friends?
Nope, don't say any of it. Don't say any of it. Because, again, the famous line from Star Wars, right? The more you squeeze your hand, the more he slips through your fingers. It won't work. All you can do is stand still and be a fabulous version of you and let him notice. If you cling to him, he, by definition, is going to stick his heels in and push back from you. So you're almost helping him leave by doing those things. And so, you know, but on a side note, anytime you start a sentence with "why don't you," it's very shaming, especially to men. So "why don't you watch TV with me" is a very shaming statement. So just leave him, you know, leave him alone, really, and work on you. And so all of a sudden you become the one that he wants to chase. You become the one that he's interested in. You become like, oh, what is, you know, look at that. She's not coming after me. I don't have to back up. She's gone on and done her own thing. And I'm not saying you have to file or continue or sign papers, but really figuratively start working on yourself. And I'm telling you, it's the number one way. The worst way to get somebody to come back is to beg them. The best way to get someone to come back is to be somebody that they would want to come back to. So, you know, really let it go. Stand still. Say, you know, go ahead. Be with your friends. It's cool. And you work on you and having your life and having things for you to do so that you don't notice his absence. Okay?
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
All right. We're going to go to the caller ending in 2127. And we've got a few more people in line, but if you want to get in line, *2 on your phone, *2 to get in line for the call. It's 2127. You are now unmuted. If you could state your name and question.
Hello, my name is Ashley.
Hello.
And I'm calling kind of a similar situation to the last caller, actually, and just want to touch on a couple things. My husband actually tends to be kind of controlling in the kind of the same aspect to what she just was saying as far as, or you touched on, you go do your own thing, you go have your own life. And I don't know, whenever I do that or try to, you know, say, well, I'm going to go out with some friends, my husband tends to get very jealous, or, you know, he makes me feel guilty for wanting to do something like that. Do I do it anyways if I feel like I'm stepping on his toes? Because he goes and does what he wants. We're separated right now. I filed for divorce, actually. Kind of the same deal, you know, and now I'm going, okay, maybe not. And so he's controlling, and insecure, and I've always been the type of wife to stay home and take care of things at home while he goes and does what he needs to go do. And he's not used to me going out and doing these things and being part, you know, having friends even, you know, so it's one of those things that I feel like whenever I say I'm going to go do that, then he gets real defensive. So what do? I stay at home because I feel like I'm going to make him mad.
Nope. Make him mad. Make him mad. And in fact, don't even talk to him about it. You know, he has left the marriage. He no longer has a vote about your life, and you need to, don't get mad at him about that, but you say, you know, if he finds out you're going out with girlfriends or something, and don't even discuss it with him and say, I'm not discussing this with you. This is not up for, you know, we are not currently, you know, together, and if we were together, we'd be able to have these conversations, but I have no say in what you're doing, and you have no say in what I'm doing, and don't even have a don't justify it, don't explain it, and certainly don't let it work. Don't stay home.
I'm the one that walked out. I'm the one that filed for divorce, and that's what he keeps throwing in my face, which we obviously, you know, it's like everybody says, you know, there's two sides to every story, and you know, a lot had become of it. Now, he held, you know, he fought for me, or, you know, he says he fought for me, but he literally pushed me away, especially now with me, you know, doing, I have your system as well, and I'm going through the, mm-hmm. the process and the steps. I mean, he literally made it worse for me. I mean, he pushed mm-hmm. and pushed and pushed me away. And then finally, when he left me alone and gave me the space, I was like, okay, I do want this.
Right.
And, you know, so, and he has, since I've started the system, since I've been trying to change and be different, he does come around some, he does, you know, and, but he's also very bad about being very negative towards me or throwing things in my face. And of course, it's hard for me not to want to get upset about it. It's really hard.
Sure, but try not to engage in those conversations. I mean, again, you anytime he starts to throw things in your face, or anytime you heard me with another caller use the word abusive, you know, if he wants to talk to you about he's feeling scared, he's worried, he's this, he's that, that's fine. But if he starts getting into you're this, and you know, you're a bad mom, and you're a bad kid, you're a bad then say, okay, well, I'll talk to you later, and hang up the phone. There is no reason for you to stay on the phone and take that. There's absolutely, it's not going to amount to anything, and it only causes resistance. So.
Yeah.
Don't get in the ring. It takes two people to have a fight
on this. I just want to touch on this because it really it bothers me. But just like in that case, if I say, okay, goodbye, honey, I'm not, you know, because I've been trying to do that, I'm not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll just hang up the phone. You know, then he'll say, oh, hang up the phone, see where that gets you, or hang up the phone and call him, or you know, it's
yeah, but that's a game. That's a game, and it's a childish one at that. It's something that, you know, I mean, no disrespect to your husband, but, it, you know, it's what you do in high school. Oh, fine, you're not going to, well, you know, what am I, you know? You just say, yep, I'm going to, you know, it's a game. It's a way, and he does it because it works. People do what works. When he does that, you stay on the phone. So, again, you say, I would love to talk to you when you're calm. I'd love to talk to you when you want to have, a rational conversation, but I'm going to go. And he'll say, oh, fine, you're gonna, just hang up.
Yeah, okay.
You can't play the same game.
Right, and I told him, and I've said that, that we can't, yeah. Okay, and one more quick question, I know you got other callers. As far as do I invite him, like, to go to supper or to go to church or to do this and that, is that, I mean, that's okay, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely,
okay.
As long as he stays calm and as long as he stays kind and as long as he, you know, is in a good space, then yeah.
And then, like, he'll come down, you know, he's been coming to the house some and whatnot. Is it okay to ask him to stay, you know, the evening with me, or is it okay to, you know, try to?
Maybe once. Like, in other words, you know, hey, I'm making steak. Do you want to stay for dinner? Once. No, I have plans. Okay. You can't appear needy. You can't appear desperate. You can't appear, like, please. You just want to be like, well, it's just a conversation. Just like you would ask anybody,
okay.
You shouldn't come in here? Nope. Oh, okay, good. Like, it's not a big deal.
Okay. He told me the other day, he's like, I want you to beg me, or, you know, I want you to.
Yeah. It's a game.
Yeah.
So you can't play it,
yeah.
Because then it'll be a game that goes on forever. And
you're
going to really walk away because you're not going to want to stay in that marriage. So.
And that's what's got us to this point, I believe.
Yep.
So, yeah. Okay. Thank
All right.
you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. We're going to. Go to caller ending in 0684. Hold on a second. My little, there we go. 0684. You're now unmuted. If you could state your name and question.
Hi, Dr. Dana. My name is Sam.
Hello.
Been married for a little over 17 years, and my wife just completed her PhD program in August, and since that time moved out of state to live with her boyfriend. But we do talk, most weekdays we talk on the phone amicably, just see how we're doing, what we're doing, things like that. And she did agree to watch that link to how to make the best decision for your marriage last week. And so I guess I'm just calling in to find out if there's any suggestions you could give me of how to continue.
So it sounds like you have the checked out partner series, correct? That's kind of what you talked about?
Have the whole strong marriage now system, yes.
Okay. There are some other steps to take, and I hate it. I don't want to ever use these calls to sell things. There's some other steps to take that are covered we just released a brand new product called the Marriage Guide, What to Do When Your Spouse Wants Out. So some of those steps, I could just cover, briefly. You might want to check it out, and Amy can maybe even give you a link to get, like, half off or something. Can you do that, Amy?
I can, yes.
Right. Well, she maybe call her later.
It's
We talk about all kinds of different things in that. Talking to your spouse about the reality of what divorce would look like. Talking to your spouse about the marriage that you want to propose for them to, that you would want to have with them coming back. There's several different things, steps left to take after they have, you know, said that, you know, they're not interested anymore. So, unfortunately I can't cover all of them in here, but, one of the questions we ask people to sit down with their spouse and talk about what divorce would really actually look like. Not in a threatening manner in any way, but in a manner that's practical. Okay, well, this is what would be occurring. Because a lot of people don't have any idea what that's going to look like, what it's going to mean, how it's going to affect the family, how it's going to affect the finances. So really talking to them about, you know, if you're actually considering this, then let's talk about what it means. And a lot of people avoid that conversation because they think it's going to move this process along faster. But in actuality, it really makes the other person think. It really makes the other person, like, pay attention to, you know, what they're actually considering doing. But that's just one of the things that we suggest. There's another letter that we ask people to write that talks about the marriage that they propose and so on and so forth. So in answer to your question, yes, there are more steps to take after this. And perhaps you can talk to Amy about how the best way to get a hold of those steps. And we find they're very effective. So it's actually, even after the person that says, I'm done, there's many, many different more steps you can take to have them reconsider that. So there is still hope for that.
Yeah, and I can give you guys that information right now. If you go to strongmarriagenow.com/guide50, we're having a promotion. Actually, it expired yesterday, but I can renew it for you guys on the call. So if you go to strongmarriagenow.com/guide50, you can get 50% off that new program that we launched. So it's GUIDE50.
Okay, good. So yeah, I would check that out, those things out, and I walk you step by step with the things that you can do to help have them reconsider, even if they believe they've already made the decision. So I would check that out.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Dina.
Okay, you're welcome.
Cool. Awesome. All right, we're going to go. I think this is our last caller. Caller ending in 1371. You're now unmuted. If you could state your name and question, please.
I don't know. Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling from a work phone. It doesn't tell me the extension. It just uses all different ones.
Sorry about that.
John.
Yeah. So,
hi, John.
I've been separated in the same house for 6 months now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some separations in the past. My wife is about 14 years younger than I am, so it's been a bit of a challenge somewhat that way anyway. But we have two children, and she doesn't trust me is pretty much what I can gather from all this.
Do you know why not?
And I don't know how do you fix something like that?
Well, there's two kinds of trust. Usually there's trust that you're going to betray them, like, you know, infidelity or some sort, and then there's trust that you're not, or there's, what people want is a trust that you're going to be faithful, and what people want is a trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. So the best way...
Probably both, I would say.
Okay, well then, I mean, the answer is kind of, you know, simply the opposite. You know, the best way to prove those things is to consistently be faithful and to act almost erringly in the other direction of faithful, meaning not even just not cheat, but not talk to other people, not go out with other people, not be around other women, literally go extreme in the other direction and show that person that they're your number one, you know, you have no interest in, really err in the point of, you know, being faithful in that regard. And then the second one was do what you say you're going to do. As simple as, honey, will you take out the trash? Yes. Take out the trash. Like, the trust has to do with, I can't believe necessarily that you're gonna do, I can't, you know, trust you, I can't know that you're gonna to do what you say, and so therefore I can't stay married to you because I don't, you know, I don't believe that the changes you're making are real or so on and so forth. So, those would be the two big things, and it matters, and unfortunately, you can take 6 steps forward, right, and then one step, and they feel like they've gone all the way back to beginning. So one time you say you're going to do something and you don't, it's like, see, you know, you can't be trusted. So it's incredibly important that you're consistent in that, and then also ask her what it is that she wouldn't, you know, ask her an open-ended question. How would you know that I am trustworthy again? what would you have to see in order to believe that I can be the husband you need? And let her answer you. And don't shoot anything back. Don't say, but I do that. Or, well, don't say a thing. Just listen to her. And then she'll tell you, well, I would have to see this, or I would have to know that, or I would have to believe this. And that's going to be your goal, to be the man that she would be able to trust again. So ask her what it is, because sometimes it's different. Sometimes, you know, she's like, well, I would have to see that you always came home at the same time. Okay, you know, like, you have to, I don't know what it is that she needs to see, but she'll tell you, and don't answer back. Don't tell her, I do that, or I did do that, or just say, okay, and get a list of ways that she would be able to feel like she could open her heart back up to you again. You know, and if you find that you have, yes, you can, but let me, if you find that you have a hard time meeting any of those things, then you need to figure out why. So if you consistently lie, or if you consistently say you're going to do things and then you forget, you have to make sure that maybe you need to do a little extra work in therapy yourself, or you have to figure out a way that you can work on you to get to that point. So go ahead, ask your next question before we have
to. Well, the other thing I wanted to say was she's been seeing a counselor some time, and actually since she's been seeing the counselor is when it's been much more difficult for me as far as I, if I had to say without knowing 100%, it would be, oh, she feels empowered now that she's not scared to say, I want to leave you. I just want this to be over with. I don't want to be married to you anymore. That kind of thing.
Right. Unfortunately, there's those lot of individual therapists that help people get divorced.
Well,
she
the other thing is that it's a really, she's never, she, well, I asked her once just about it, and all she told me was it was none of my business, which was kind of took me off guard because I was always thinking, you know, my big thing is, and I'm the manager, and to me there's always two sides to every story. Don't judge on one side of the story. You can look like a jerk a lot of times.
But I agree.
This person doesn't seem to be interested in anything I have ever fought, or you know, what have I done wrong, or what have you.
Well, see if she'll see a different therapist with you then. So in other words, she'll get to keep her individual therapist, but she'll see a therapist for that. And then you want to pick somebody like me who's pro-marriage, who really believes that a marriage can be saved, who's really about keeping families together. You want to really make sure you find somebody. Because, you know, there's a lot of therapists that, you know, somebody says, ow, and they say, get a divorce. And I'm sorry about that.
Right.
That's unfortunate. But so you really want to find somebody. See if she will go to therapy with you and find somebody who's just really about marriage, or see if she'll watch, you know, the videos if you have the Strong Marriage Now system with you, or see, you know, see if she'll do the things together that are pro-marriage and that can really make you guys happy again. And, you know, so don't try and get into her therapy. See if she'll do a whole different thing with you.
Well, yeah, I would not want to go to this one because I
no.
My wife's been reading Buddhist stuff and Hindu stuff, and I just, you know, we were very strong Christians, and she's kind of walked away from that too. So I'm very confused, and I mean, your other callers, I heard a lot of stuff of the same mistakes that I've made. You know, when you start initial conversation, and then you fall back to being defensive, and you can tell it just works in the opposite. It pushes them
you're
away.
Yeah, totally right.
I know that, but it's so hard to bite your tongue sometimes when forget the logic because that doesn't work.
I know, I understand, but really getting to a place where you kind of feel like, you know, again, ask her what she needs. Ask her what she needs to feel like she can trust you again, and start there. And if she feels like you're going to have a hard time meeting her needs, then ask if she'll go to therapy and help you learn together how you can do that. Okay?
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much, everybody who dialed in today. I hope you found this time with Dr. Dana valuable. In the next few days, we're going to send you an email with a replay of this call if you want to listen into the topic of the month or the answers again. And you can also share this call with a loved one, so you'll get a link for that to watch your email for that. And if you've got any more questions, please feel free to log in and use the private internet forum. And I also want to let you guys know that we sent out the February magazine and CD from last month, and I hope you're enjoying that. And we'll be sending out March very shortly after this call is recorded. We'll be turning it into a CD and sending it to your home. And mark your calendar. Next month's call is going to be on Tuesday, March 18th, and same time, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, U.S. And the topic for that one is what to do when your spouse won't talk to you. So that one, it sounds like it's going to be pertinent to a lot of you guys on the call. So be sure to mark your calendar for that. And I know it can be super scary when your spouse shuts you out and won't communicate with you. So, but as Dana said today on today's call, it doesn't mean that your marriage is over. So she's going to share practical advice next month on what you can do for that specific situation. And I know some of you may want to have a little bit more of a lengthy conversation with Dr. Dana about your specific issue. So she is super-duper busy, but she can do one-on-one Skype or phone counseling sessions with you. If you're interested in something like that, you can go to strongmarriagenow.com/dr-dana-session, S-E-S-S-I-O-N, or you can email us and we'll send you the link. So if you want to work one-on-one with her, that she does have some spots available in her calendar. She can squeeze you in. And thanks again for being with us today. We are so honored to be able to help you and be with you during these difficult situations that you guys are doing. We just believe so strongly in helping people have happy marriages and happy lives, and that's why we have this business, and we're so dedicated to it. And if you're finding what we do helpful, we would very much appreciate you inviting your friends and loved ones to join our email list. That helps us help more people. So if you can spread the word, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. I was really, really impressed with how many people were willing to get on the calls today and ask their questions. And as I've mentioned before, we kind of had a theme today, so I'm asking everybody to just stand still and work on themselves and be the best person that you can be. And, you know, and I wish the best for all of you. Thank you so much.
And I also want to add, if anybody else wants that URL for the guide, it talks a lot about how to do that if you're struggling with that. We do have that 50% off that I'll extend the discount for you guys, and it's strongmarriagenow.com/guide, GUIDE50. All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.